All right. Good morning, again. Oh, come on. Good morning! Is the morning good, or is it good because I think it's you guys seen the Hobbit number Gandalf, like, well, it's just good morning because it's a good morning, or you feel good, or perhaps it doesn't. It is a good morning. Every morning's a good morning, right? You wake up, it's another day, it's a gift from the Lord. I've got so little to talk about, and we have so much time. Wait, strike that. Reverse it. Lots to talk about and so little time, so I'm just going to get into it right away. But I do want to extend once again a Merry Christmas to everybody, our family. I guess the last couple of years we've decided to start a tradition to keep our Christmas decorations up through January 5th, which is technically the 12th day of Christmas. And then now today, January 6th, is a new season, so we'll be taking down our Christmas decorations today. Anyway, it's a new year and there's much to be happy about, and so just want to wish everybody a happy new year as well. And I know we're already 6 days in, but it's not too late to start thinking about what we want this year to look like in our own lives, for the church. And that's what the message this morning is going to be about. And we try to review this from time to time, just what the vision of Submerged Church is, what our mission is as a church, and just encouraging each of us here to have a clear vision and mission for your life. So I'm just going to pray that God would bless this time. Father, we just come before you this morning. We pray that you would grip our hearts. Thank you for the things you've already put on my heart, that you would like me to be improving on this year, different changes I can make to my life, just doing better at winning the hearts of my children, my boys, other things you've placed on my heart. I just pray you do that to each of us this morning, Lord. We think of things, we listen to your voice on how we can help fulfill the great vision that you have for each of our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the big idea today, I'll just get to that right away. I hope this has been helpful, because then some of us, you know, we're kind of sitting here and there can be lots that goes on, and then you get done with the service, you're like, man, what was that sermon about again? So this is the one thing that we can remember. If you remember anything else, take the small steps today that will lead to the grand vision of tomorrow. So if you remember anything from today, please just remember that. Take the small steps today that will lead to the grand vision of tomorrow. Now, before we get into talking about what vision is and things like that, I know for you guys who know me, I'm quite a bit of a planner. I know that's a surprise for some of you. I've been the brunt of some jokes that in my weekly update emails, I even indicate what time we're supposed to go to the bathroom, what time we're supposed to eat. It's not true if you actually read the emails, but there's lots of information in there. There's things that are going on in the week. There's events that are coming up. I try to stay organized and give people a fighting chance to stay organized as well. So I'm a planner. So my thing that I need to learn is that, you know what, Paul, it's okay if God interrupts your plans sometimes. You need to learn to be flexible if God throws something else into your life, and roll with it. So that's been something that God's been growing in me, and it's been very good. And having three children, that happens a lot. Their plans kind of just get adjusted based on what's happening with kids, and I just have to roll with it. So it doesn't mean that we shouldn't plan, because it's like, well, I don't know what's going to happen today, so I might as well just not have a plan. We don't want to be like that either, and I'm going to get into that. But so before we can talk about vision, we need to know what vision is. So if you look up on the screen here, this is vision. anyway, yeah. You guys have seen the Avengers movies, right? So this is Vision. He's one of the Avengers. He's got the yellow one of the yellow stones. Which one is that? What is it? Mind Stone. Yeah, the Mind Stone. There's like five of them, right? And Thanos. Yeah, Thanos collects all five of them. Can't wait to see what happens in the next Avengers movie. Anyway, no, supposed to be a joke. Hope you like that. Kind of a good-looking guy, other than his skin's like really red. But anyway, okay, next slide. Here's what vision really is. So vision connects the present to the future. It is a source of motivation. Vision connects the present to the future. It is a source of motivation. That should be in your bulletins if we take a look at Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. So if we don't have a vision for our lives, that means we really don't have a purpose, and therefore, why should I have any kind of regulations or discipline in my life that's going to get me to fulfill any kind of vision or purpose? So we cast off restraint. We live our lives however we want to. We eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, right? When students are going and taking these classes and saying, we're just a product of evolution. There is no morality other than what culture gives us. We're just animals. You're going to die and be buried in the ground and cease to exist. So just do what you want and, try to make things better. But it really, in the end, it really doesn't matter. You know, so if we live lives like that, yeah, why should we have any day-to-day restraints in our life? Why should we keep the law if it doesn't even matter at the end? There must be a vision in our lives. Next slide. Those without vision will take the path of least resistance to avoid discomfort. Those with vision will be blessed as they develop disciplines to navigate them through obstacles instead of around them. Now, honestly, ask yourself this question. Which of those two categories do you seem to find yourself more in? Are you one of the people that, when hard things come, you take the path of least resistance to avoid discomfort? You're like, oh, this is making me uncomfortable. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And you just give up. You avoid it. Or are you like one who has vision and you develop disciplines to navigate through obstacles instead of around them? We need to ask ourselves this question. And as Christians, it should be the latter. Habakkuk 2:2, once again. And the Lord answered me, write the vision. Write the vision. Make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. And we can just leave this verse on the screen, but I do want to just read verse 3 again. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. We have to tell our boys, Josiah, James, oh, just wait one moment. I'm working on this. Hey, can I get this? Yep, one moment. Yep, just wait, please. And we have to teach our kids to wait. And some kids grow up and they don't learn to wait. And they're still very impatient and they want everything right now. But our timing is not God's time. We need to wait. Right now, if I had my way, everything would be just absolutely perfect all the time and there wouldn't be any problems. And of course, I'm a perfectionist. And God has said, Paul, wait for it. Your desire for perfection is a good thing. You will live in a perfect world one day when Jesus returns, when the new heaven and the new earth are established. Things will be perfect, but you need to wait. You need to wait for it. So it's good to have that vision. And notice here it even says, write the vision. Write the vision. So we at Submerged Church have done that. What's the vision for Submerged Church? And this is a good review. We probably don't talk about this as often as we should. Vision for Submerged Church, to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Wow. How are we going to do that? Well, we'll get into it gradually here. But that's our vision, to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus said, go then and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the Great Commission. We are a Great Commission church. Our vision is to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And we do that in our own small little way right here at Submerged Church in Fargo, North Dakota. And we reach the world right here. So how do we do that? This was something cast, well, a little over four years ago when we started the church. 10-10-10, 300. 10 churches, 10 cities, 10 years with 300 people. I think we still have some of these cards on the back table. So we are the first of those 10 churches that Cottonwood sent. And if we're gonna fulfill this vision, we've got some work to do, don't we? Because we've been here for 4 years already. Could God still do it? Absolutely. Absolutely, he could. What if he doesn't? Did we fail? No. At least we had a vision. And God maybe just had different plans for us. I don't know. God could still do this. 10 churches, 10 cities, 10 years with 300 people. So we want to grow this church to 300, maybe even 200, and then start thinking about, well, we should plant another church, another part of Fargo, maybe Detroit Lakes, maybe, who knows, you know. There's lots of people out there that need Christ. So this is our vision. So vision for my life, what is it? What's the vision for your life? You can maybe even take a moment right now if you've got your bulletin, maybe think about that. I know it's a pretty big question, probably something you do want to take some time to think about, but what is the vision for your life? What is the vision for your life? What do you want to have accomplished by the time you're lying on your deathbed? Or by the time Jesus comes back? I mean, what do you want to have to say for yourself? What do you want to have written on your tombstone? Paul Letvin got the highest score on Ski Safari and was a pretty good father. That's not what I want written on my tombstone. No. Vision for my life: to make Jesus Christ attractive to the world and to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's the vision for my life. That's what I want more than anything. To make Jesus Christ attractive to the world. And in doing so, win people to Jesus Christ. And one day I want to stand before God and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You took the gifts, the talents, the energy, the things that I gave you. You invested them in people. You multiplied yourself. Way to go." That's the vision for my life. There's a good quote by John Maxwell. This won't be up on the screen, but where there is hope for the future, there is power in the present. When there is hope for the future, there is power in the present. It's a quote by John Maxwell, and it's very true. You know, if we have no hope for the future, well, we're just going to die. It makes us weak. It doesn't motivate us at all. But if we're like, wow, one day I'm going to have a new body. I won't have any pain anymore. I'm going to get to be with Jesus in heaven. Man, that gives me a lot of power to endure the day, to endure the sickness I had earlier this week, and just reminded of what a weak, frail body I have. And one day we're going to have a new, perfect body where we won't get sick anymore. We won't have any problems. Going to be amazing. I've got a good analogy here about vision. So there was an old story about three bricklayers that helps illustrate what it looks like when people receive motivation from taking ownership of a vision. Okay, so there were three bricklayers working beside each other on a wall. Someone came up to the first one and said, "What are you doing?" "What's it look like I'm doing?" he replied sarcastically. "I am laying bricks." So that's number one. That's all he's doing. He's just laying bricks up in the upper left-hand corner there. Okay. Then the man asked the next guy on the wall what he was doing. He said, "Can't you see what I'm doing? I am building a wall." Okay. So that's picture number two. So that guy had a little bit of a bigger perspective, but really nothing super grand. He's just building a wall. Probably doesn't even know what the wall is for. Then the last man was asked what he was doing. He exclaimed, "I am building a great cathedral for God." And that was the third person's perspective, number three down there. Now, who do you think will probably do the best quality work and be the hardest worker out of those three? Who's going to do the best quality work and be the hardest worker? Number three, right? So the man who has the vision, "I am building a great cathedral for God," he is going to work so hard. He's going to be so careful to place each brick exactly where it needs to go because he has a great vision for what is happening. Vision causes people to love their work because they can see the big picture. They can see the big picture. If you're just stuck in a little job and like, whatever, you know, sitting at your computer, sending email, and you don't have a vision for what you're doing, you're not going to care about it. You're not going to love it. And I know every job has its difficulties, it's mundane, boring days. But if you get stuck in that, you don't have a vision for what you're doing, you're going to be miserable. And the vision we need to have is number three, building a great cathedral for God. Just like us on Sunday mornings. You know, if we just think to ourselves, well, I'm just setting up a lamp, I'm just putting this bass drum here, plugging this light in, I'm just playing another song. If that's all we think, man, this is going to be pointless. But if we think, I am winning souls for Jesus Christ, I am being a blessing to my brothers and sisters in Christ so that they can encounter God in a deeper way and be motivated to shine their lights for the Lord. If I think of it that way, it's so much more enjoyable to be doing the things that I do day in and day out. And just looking at the big picture. Another analogy I like, you guys know I like ships. By the way, the tall ships are coming back to Duluth this year, August 11th through the 13th. I really want to go. It's a Sunday through a Tuesday. You can get like day passes, but has anybody seen the tall ships in Duluth? Oh, man. We went, oh, yeah, Sally, of course, yeah. I brought my two lovely sister-in-laws with my wife and our two boys at the time, and we saw the tall ships. They had the world's largest rubber ducky that year, just this huge, like, rubber ducky, you know, that they it was probably, like, four stories high. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was like, yeah, I think it was like 40 feet tall, just this huge rubber ducky on the water. And, of course, they had the old ships of yore. And anyway, I just love ships. I was looking at the tickets online and, like, to actually get a ride on one of the ships, I think all those tickets sold out in like 3 days. You know, it's like $150 or something just to go on one little ride on these old ships. Anyway, but they still have like day passes and you can get front of the line. Anyway, so I love ships. I'm so fascinated by it. But so this what I'm about to tell you would probably apply to me because I'm not much of a, I mean, I'm getting to be more of a handyman, but not nearly as much as my older brother Peter. But if you want to build a great ship, so think of this. If you want to build a great ship, you can go out and find some talented craftsmen, or you can find a person who loves the sea. Isn't that interesting? Who would you rather have? A talented craftsman whose heart isn't in it, or someone who maybe isn't quite as skilled, but man, they love the sea, and they're going to do everything they can to figure out how to build an amazing ship no matter what it takes. I'd rather have somebody like that. And the same goes for Submerged Church here at church. I would much rather have people who have a great heart for the Lord and a desire to serve Him and a passion for the lost than somebody who's the best guitar player in the world or somebody who can make the best website in the world. And I think that's what God wants too. He gives us talents, He gives us gifts, but what He really wants is our heart. He wants our passion, and that needs to be linked into the vision for our lives. Next one. Mission. So we talked about vision. The next one's mission. Mission is the plan in the present that will fulfill the vision for the future. So that's what mission is. The plan in the present that will fulfill the vision for the future. Proverbs 15:22 and 16:3. Without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Jeremiah 29:11. Is another good one. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Some good mission verses. So the mission must be from God. I think we've got a slide for this one. Yep. So the vision must be from God, and we are to work together to help develop the plan that will succeed in fulfilling the vision. Okay? So Jesus Christ gave us a vision to reach the world for Jesus Christ, right? In Matthew 28:19. So Jesus gave us that vision. So now we need to have a mission that's going to help fulfill that vision. So our best mission, so this is also on those blue cards. I think, like I said, I think we do still have some of those left. So our best mission at Submerged Church is to present every person mature in Christ. How are we going to reach the world for Jesus Christ if we just have a bunch of little baby Christians that need to get spoon-fed every Sunday, right? I need you to feed me, Pastor. Feed me. Tell me what to do. Yeah, if that's how all of us are, we're not going to be going out and reaching the world for Christ. We need to become mature. We need to be able to eat solid food. We need to train ourselves how to distinguish good from evil, be reading our Bibles, be praying, learning how to hear God's voice. So we want to present every person mature in Christ. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Colossians 1:28. And here's what the card looks like. You have to, you know, flip it in a circle unless you can read upside down. But that, there it is. Bring, equip, supply, train. So let's go through each of those. So it's an acronym. Bob came up with that, right? Of course he did. He likes those homiletics and hermeneutics and letters and crafty, and he's really good at that. Our best mission. So B, as we here at our house. A, we're teaching the alphabet to the boys. So B, bring people into a vital and vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. I've quoted this verse already. Go and make disciples of all nations. Matthew 28:19. So that's the first part of our best mission. We need to bring people into a vital, vibrant relationship. We need to be passionate about Jesus. We need to be living our lives as Jesus would have us live them. We need to be reaching out to others in kindness and showing them what it means to be a Christian, that they would be attracted to wanting a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. Next, equip. So once we bring them, we equip them. We equip people to be committed Christ followers. So it's one thing to be saved and accept Jesus. It's another thing to become a disciple and actually start following Christ. We equip people to become committed Christ followers. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. And that's our goal here. And I hope and trust that at most times, the example that I set is one that you guys can follow in Christ. And I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I slip up. I've got weaknesses just like anybody does. But overall, day in and day out, we should be able to say, hey, follow my example. If you want to learn how to be a Christian, you got to follow what we're doing here. Thanks, Jude. Jude gave me a little shout out there. S, supply people access to the dynamic experience of the local church, and that's what we're doing right now. We have a Sunday service that people can come and experience. We've got Wednesday night home groups that people can also experience the local church. We're doing a house church once a month. Our next house church will be a week from Wednesday. So the 16th, I think that is, will be our next house church time. So supply people access to the dynamic experience of the local church. And it's not just Sunday mornings, singing songs, and listening to a message. It's living life together. It's hanging out. It's sharing meals. It's going and doing service projects. It's all those kinds of things. That's the church. This is just where we meet. The people here are the church. He is the head of the body, the church. Colossians 1:18. Don't ever forget that Jesus is the head of this church. It's not me. It's not Bob. It's not Deacon Tyler, Deacon Don. It's Jesus. We submit ourselves to him. And lastly, T, train. So train people to be lifetime laborers with Christ Church. Men ought to regard us as servants of Christ. And that's when you really start embracing the mission that we have at Submerge, is when you actually start using your gifts and talents to be serving and finding some way to serve, whether it's, like Tyler mentioned, that could be helping with fellowship meal, could be music, could be organizing outreach activities. This summer, I'd like to maybe do a couple short-term mission trips, perhaps on weekends, since we're going to be having Wednesday services and not Sunday services, and that'll free up our weekends. So we could go down to Minneapolis for a Friday night, Saturday night, and then easily come back on, you know, things like that, since we'll have our Sundays technically freed up. Things like that. Finding ways to be lifetime laborers and serving others. So, next blank there, mission for my life. What is it? What's the mission for your life? So another good thing to think about, if you've never done this, make 2019 the year that, okay, I am going to have a vision for my life. I am going to have a mission for my life. Make this the year that you do it. Take some time to think about it. Here's an example. So the Submerge Worship and Creative Ministry mission. I've got this in all of our emails. This is for the worship creative crew that sets things up and does music. I have been put on the earth to touch the world for God through music and creativity, and to be part of the best bands and creatives in the world known for loving Jesus Christ. We want people to walk in here and hear excellent music, see excellent setup, and think, wow, these people actually care about what they're doing. This is amazing. They must also care about the God that they serve. Okay? How much we love the Lord is reflected in our work. It's reflected in our work. I mean, so the worship team, we practice. We learn new songs. We try to get things down, singing things that are easy for the congregation to sing. I might embarrass somebody, but you guys might not know this, but Lydia took it upon herself to take these lamps home that were literally falling apart, and she fixed the screws, she repainted them, and they look awesome now. To be excellent, to make things look nice. I was so impressed this morning to see that. Thomas was ready to throw them away because he got a couple other new lamps, and thankfully Lydia had already salvaged them without Thomas knowing about it, I think, and then here they are, ready to go. Okay. And so that is a way that we bring glory to God, by working hard and by being excellent in what we do. It matters. The little things matter. Isaiah 32:8. This is another good verse. You could write down a reference. But he who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands. But he who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands. Isaiah 32, verse 8. Okay, let's get into goals. These next two will not take nearly as long. So goals are smaller, measurable parts that will accomplish the mission. Okay, goals are smaller, measurable parts that will accomplish the mission. Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. They usually have a timeline. Goals do. So here's a question. What goals can I set to accomplish the mission and fulfill the vision? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So if you fail to plan, you just made a plan to fail. And that's just how it is. I'm going to read a couple goal quotes to you, and then we'll get up to that next SMART goal thing. So this is by C.S. Lewis. You are never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. You're never too old. Tony's taking grad school right now. It's wonderful, pursuing a new degree. You're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream. This one's by St. Jerome. Good, better, best, never let it rest. Till your good is better and your better is best. I love that. Good, better, best, never let it rest. Till your good is better, and your better is best. St. Jerome. A goal properly set is halfway reached. Zig Ziglar. Goals that are not written down are just wishes. Anonymous. Goals that are not written down are just wishes. It's good to actually write it down. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. You ever thought about that? How long did it take the snail to get into the ark? Oh, yeah. That one's by Charles Spurgeon. By perseverance, the snail reached the ark. We could go on and on about those, but we won't. So here's an example of how to set SMART goals. Who's heard of SMART goals at your work? Or we talked about it all the time in the teaching business when I was an educator for 7 years, but this is actually a very good way. So if you want to set goals and have real goals, this is a great way to do it. This will get results. So another acronym, Bob's got to love it, right? SMART, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. You can write those down if you want. Otherwise, you can just go on Google and type SMART goals, and you'll find it there too. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So if you're going to make a SMART goal, it's got to be specific. You have to state what you'll do and use action words like, I am going to do this. Okay, it's got to be specific. Measurable, provide a way to evaluate. Use metrics or data targets. So you've got to be able to measure it somehow. Like, well, I want to be a good person in 2019. Okay, how do you measure that? How do you measure being a good person? You know, it's got to be measurable. Achievable, within your scope. Impossible to accomplish, attainable. If I was going to say, all right, I want to memorize the Old Testament in 2019. As much as I'd love to do that with three kids, it's just not going to happen. You know, we can't make goals that are just completely outlandish. It's got to be something achievable, relevant, makes sense within your job function, improves the business in some way. So for me as a pastor, if I said, yeah, I want to do a better job of being a pastor this year by learning how to sow some good sales for my new sailboat that I want to buy. Well, might not be completely relevant unless I start using that sailboat to take people out, and then I have them as a captive audience for an hour on the lake and can talk about Jesus. Then maybe, yeah, sure, maybe I could connect it somehow. But we should have goals that are relevant to our life, to our work, to being a Christian. And then lastly, T is for time bound. State when you'll get it done. Be specific on a date or time frame. So if you don't have a deadline, you can just keep putting it off, putting it off, putting it off. Yep, I'm going to memorize Philippians 2:4 this year. Okay, yeah, you've got 359 days to do that. Maybe you could memorize Philippians 2:4 this week, by the end of next week. That'd be a little bit more appropriate time frame. Things like that. So make smart goals. Here's the goals that I pray for Submerged Church every day. On this next slide. Or sorry, not every day. Once a week. So goals I pray for Submerged Church. These are my goals for you guys. That we'd flip for Jesus, resisting the world's values and systems. Be men and women of prayer, 30 minutes a day. And the Word, 15 minutes a day. And that 30 minutes doesn't mean you sit down and pray for 30 minutes straight. Just like it could be added up, you know. When you wake up, when you pray before meals, when you're praying in the car, maybe you've got a tough thing at work and you pray for a minute or two in the restroom before you got a bad meeting or something. Pray before you get so that each of us, that's my goal that I kind of made for you guys. 30 minutes a day. In the Word, 15 minutes a day. That we're reading 15 minutes a day. Be memorizers and meditators of the Word, one verse weekly. Our family memorizes a verse every week. We make up a song for it, and we sing it. Malachi 4:6 is the one that we're doing this week. You will turn the hearts of children to their fathers and the hearts of fathers to their children, lest I come with a decree of utter destruction. Malachi 4:6. Be bold and faithful witnesses for Christ. This is in our weekly update email. Sow one seed weekly. Each one, sow one. Right? Each one, sow one. Share a church business card. Share your testimony. Give a gospel tract to somebody. Invite somebody to church. Do something to sow one seed a week. Be faithful tithers. Full 10%. Giving to the needs of the church. I believe Pastor Bob is going to be speaking on that more next week. But that's another goal that I pray for our church. And that we be under authority and be committed to Submerged leaders. Okay. And then lastly, steps. So steps are choices made every moment and day that will meet these goals. So those are the steps. So it's the day in, day out steps. Like I'm going to wake up this morning and do this. You know, that's like taking those steps to meet those goals. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And then Psalm 37:23-24, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. So it's the Lord who is the one who establishes our steps, but we have to be the ones that agree to go along with it. So here's an example of what everything could look like all together. So if you wrote everything out. So vision, so this is for me. To care for my wife, children, and the saints as long as physically possible. So my mission for that, I will take care of my body as a temple of the Holy Spirit to stay attractive for my wife, strong for my children, and fit to serve others. Goals, I eat healthily. I avoid processed sugar. I have a full diet of fruits and vegetables. And then I exercise regularly. Run 3 times a week. Do push-ups 6 times a week. Lift 2 times a week. Ab wheel 2 times a week. This is literally my program for my life to fulfill that vision at the top. So what do these steps look like? This is literally what I did yesterday. So my Saturday routine, I eat healthy meals. I ran 3 miles. I did 120 push-ups, and I did 120 reps on the ab wheel. And that's literally what I do to stay. So and it's to fulfill that vision, because I don't want to be you know, sitting in a wheelchair at 60 years old because I'm so overweight, I can't even help or play with my kids and my grandkids or take care of my wife. I want to be, and sure, there could be something that comes along. I could get a brain aneurysm. I could come down with some kind of, you know, who knows what, but my chances of being healthy are going to be a lot better if I'm taking those daily steps and having those goals than if I just eat whatever I want and I never exercise. So we've got to have a vision, we've got to have a mission, and then we need to break it down. How's this going to happen? So are the decisions I am making today meeting my goals? Are the decisions I'm making today meeting my goals? We've got to ask ourselves that question. And this is a great time of year to do it. So please, please go home this afternoon, take some time to think about, what's the vision for my life? What's the mission for my life? How am I going to make that happen? I just gave you some suggestions. I'd encourage everybody, memorize a verse once a week. There's over 20 Bible verse memorizing apps that you could get. It makes it fun. It like makes a game how you type things in to memorize verses. There's so many ways that we can grow in our walks with the Lord. So take the small steps today that will lead to the grand vision of tomorrow. I've gone over just a bit. I'm going to welcome Bryce up to give us a brief communion devotional, and then we'll do one song after that. Yeah, so please come on up, Bryce.